Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pep Talk, your get-up-and-go fix of the day. Sharky Zartman here, and I am so excited to introduce you to Siv Harstad, who, after years of working as a top executive and experiencing severe burnout, she decided to climb new mountains, literally. She tackled the world's seven highest summits, the highest peak on all continents, including Mount Everest and Kilimanjaro, and the highest volcanoes on all seven continents, totaling 33 expeditions. What's even more amazing is that she used to suffer from acute fear of heights. So today she will talk about what drove her to become a summiter and inspire others to transform their works and lives forever. So welcome, Siv.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm so excited to talk to you. When I saw your ad in RTIR, I thought, oh man, I gotta have this one on the show. And so thank you so much for joining us. I know you're calling from Norway. And so let's get to it. How did you overcome your fear of heights to climb the world's highest peaks?
Well, I actually started climbing, and I find myself a couple of times in a situation where you're like, you're sweaty and you're cold at the same time, and I didn't know if I could go up or down, you know, that fear is taking over. And the passion for the mountains and being in nature was a little bit bigger than that fear, so I ended up climbing the tactical mountain, where I used a technique that is called EFT, or tapping, where you calm down your nervous system. So I was working on myself, going outside my comfort zone, and kind of, yeah, after a while, I just overcame that fear, and it's not there anymore.
Wow. Well, I saw the movie Mount Everest. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah.
After seeing that, I thought, oh my gosh, why would anybody sign up for that? And so I know that you've done it and you plan on doing it again. What was it like?
It's what I say to people. It's like, it's not sunshine and flowers every day, for sure. It's days that it's cold and you're thinking, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And I even paid to be here, you know? And then there's other moments where it's so beautiful, like have to pinch my arm and be so grateful that I'm there, and it's so amazing. So it's like duality, you could say, yeah?
Uh-huh. Wow. So how long did it take?
From the start to the end, 2 months.
2 months to climb Mount.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because you have to adjust your body to the high altitude. So, you know, you go slowly. I climb from the Nepal side, and it takes a couple of weeks if you go safely and spend good time for acclimatizing, even to get to the base camp. And then when you go there, you go up to camp one, you go back down, and then you go up to camp two, you go down. So it's like literally climbing the mountain several times just for the body to adjust to the little oxygen that is higher up.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would imagine you have to be pretty healthy to go on these expeditions, right?
Yeah. At least, you know, when you're training a lot and you're doing everything to improve and be strong and all of that, it doesn't make sense to party all week and kind of ruin what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to eat healthy and sleep enough and all of that so body can do its job, yeah?
Right. Well, what is this? You went blind on Everest. Yeah, I saw some of your captions. And so what happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
When I when I got to the summit or on my way to the summit of Everest, I had a problem with my oxygen mask, and at the time I didn't really, I was thinking, yeah, it's going to be fine. But what happened was that the lack of oxygen prevented the eyes, the cornea, is the organ in our body that is most sensitive to lack of oxygen.
Okay.
To protect itself, it creates a liquid to take care of the cornea, and that prevented me from seeing. So basically, at the summit of Everest, I go blind. And I can tell you, I would not have chosen that location for that to happen.
Well, wasn't that scary? What did you do?
Well, it was scary, and I had like my lucky day because our team had one extra Sherpa that should not have been there. So instead of having one guy that I was climbing with, I could have two people climbing with me down. So we had to I call it world championship in teamwork, because they supported me with the locations where I had to rappel to fix the rope for me, and other times we held hands and went together. So it was like an incredible journey and trust in them for helping and supporting me coming down, because if you can't climb yourself, you're not coming down. And I wanted to come down and come home, you know.
Right. Well, I don't blame you. My goodness. Well, what I also saw that you outran Earthquake. Where did you do that?
That was actually the year before, because we were there with the Norwegian team in 2015, and on our way, as we started climbing, the biggest earthquake in Nepal in 80 years, on 7.9 on Richter scale, happened.
Oh.
And that earthquake triggered a rock fall, and the rocks came after us, so we basically just had to run, you know?
Oh my goodness.
Literally run for your life, because these big boulders landed where we were standing when that earthquake started. So that was a scary situation as well.
So, oh my gosh, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And so you've done 33 expeditions. Now I have to ask a couple of questions. Which one was your favorite, and which one was the most challenging?
I think the favorite, I would say, climbing the highest peak in Antarctica, because it's so remote and it's so pristine, it's so beautiful there. Even though it's cold, it's really amazing. And I think I can say Everest going blind is the most challenging one ever. Because I was blind for like 24 hours, so I had to climb from the summit and back to Camp 4. Without seeing anything. That's like a major challenge.
Well, do those things happen to a lot of people with the going blind because of the on these expeditions?
No. There's something called the Himalayan database, and they keep track of who are climbing and how did it go and all of that. And apparently, only one guy that was blind before he started climbing has climbed blind down. So it's me and him.
Oh, wow. Wow. And you're still doing it. You're still doing it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. What made you decide to, to do this? I mean, just haven't you done just about everything? Although I see you have a 777 challenge coming up. Tell us about that. That's a little scary.
I have climbed the highest peak on every continent, all seven of them, and then I have climbed five of the highest volcanoes on each continent. So I'm missing two. There is one in Papua New Guinea, which I was supposed to go to in 2020, which of course didn't happen. And then the final one will be in Antarctica in hopefully January 26th, this next January. I'm working on finding some sponsors for that one, because Antarctica is extremely expensive to get to, you know.
Wow. Wow. So what's it like to, you know, I mean, you've climbed Everest and Kilimanjaro. What's it like to climb a volcano?
It's not very much different, but some of them are in some amazing locations that I probably never, ever would go to if I didn't go to visit this volcano.
Uh-huh.
And meeting people that are beautiful from other countries, other continents, is also an important part of this journey, I feel, because understanding other cultures and also seeing that we are much the same, all of us. We are humans, and we want our children to go to school, to have a good education, we want a safe home, we have a job to provide for our families. You know, all of these are universal things for everyone, I see.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
This is lovely.
Yes, definitely. So, what are some of the most important lessons that you have learned by being a summiter? I think you just shared one with us. So can you share a couple others?
Yeah, I think, like, being able to handle change and challenges when they arrive, because, you know, life can change in a minute or a second, for that matter, like it did with the earthquake. And I'd say that you never know when things are going to change. So if you have something that you really, really would love to do, don't put it and say, well, I'll do it later, because you might not get later. That's what we experienced with that earthquake. That
Right.
So fast. Yeah.
So it trains you to handle challenges when they arrive, because you can't prepare for them,
yeah.
Right? Really?
No, I mean, we had thought about challenges that could happen and difficulties, and we have talked about how to solve it, but none of us thought an earthquake would come in and ruin the whole expedition, basically.
Yeah. Has anybody ever died on any of your expeditions? That you took?
None of my team or nobody. During that earthquake, a lot of people died, you know, and there was people in every space camp that did die that day. So I think as much as 20 people and 70 injured.
Okay.
From also an avalanche that hit space camp after, that was triggered by the earthquake. But not on any of my teams, no. So I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah. Well, in that movie, Mount Everest, I think half of the cast died in the movie.
Yeah.
I'm going,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That was an accident, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah.
My mom saw that movie just before I left, and I was like, Mom, it's not like that. Don't worry.
I know, when I saw that movie, you know, because I just saw it a couple of weeks ago, and then I saw your thing in RTIR, and I got to talk to her.
Yeah.
And so, I know you have lots more stories that you, can you share a couple with us real quickly that were the most amazing? Because I know you speak and you talk about a lot of your stories. And so, share one with us that you love to share during your speeches.
Yeah. You know, in 2020, everything closed down for the whole world, and me and my expedition partner, we had planned to go to Greenland in the spring of 21 to practice for an Antarctica expedition to the South Pole, and we were sitting here, and Greenland wasn't open for any tourists to come, and people around us were starting to cancel their Greenland expeditions, and we were sitting there, like, holding on and crossing our fingers and hoping it would be possible. And even in the end, we bought the airline ticket because there was an airline ticket. And we were thinking, worst case, if you have a high-priced ticket, you can get money back if you don't travel, right?
So we
did that, and then suddenly it opened up and we could go. And apparently we were on the first flight in after they opened the country. So it's a little bit about not giving up your hopes and dreams, even though it looks difficult and it's not going to happen. Because if you stay in there and work for it to happen, suddenly doors open that you didn't see, you know?
Right. Well, you never know.
No.
Yeah. So what? What?
Somebody helping you out that you never knew.
So what can people do to stop holding themselves back and take on bolder challenges? I mean, you know, because some people won't take on any challenges. They just want to stay in their comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
So what can they do? What can we do?
Feel into their heart, because I have what I say, what makes your heart sing? Because there is always something you dreamt about that you really wanted to do, but you're not doing.
Okay.
How would it feel if you actually went ahead and did that? And I think we all know that joy that will come and the happiness, we can feel into that and use that as the engine for taking the steps, because we don't need to know every step to get there. We just need to take one step and then another step and another one. And before you know it, you're there.
Before you know it, you're there. Do you, when you first started out, did you go by yourself or did you go with other people?
I went with other people, so because that's a good learning. I just have a guide that you hire for yourself or as a part of a group.
Okay.
Because you need to build your skills. I mean, nobody can go straight and climb Everest, you know. You need to start on a smaller mountain. And it's the same if you're going to run a marathon or something. You need
right.
to run 1K, 5K, 10K.
Right.
You need to build up your strength and your skill, right?
Right. So I know that on the expeditions that you have coming up, people can join, right? And how do you prepare them for what they're coming?
I have some tracks that I take people, like the Inca Trail in Peru, Kilimanjaro, things like that. And then I do calls with them, and if somebody needs extra support, I help them how to train and what to pack they will get the information about. So it's, you're not coming there and not knowing what you're going to do, yeah?
Right. So you do the physical training with them, not just mental, not just telling them what's going
to
come.
Well, I tell them how to train, and if somebody needs extra support, I can do that, because, you know, it's I believe these are things that everybody can manage if they actually want to and prepare.
So tell us, I saw on your website that you do have a couple expeditions coming up pretty soon. Can you tell us a little bit about them and how people can find out more information?
Well, if they go to my website, which is my name, SteveHarstad.com,
okay.
They can get hold of me there, and they can also get some more information. Then I do Inca Trail, which is tracking off to Machu Picchu in Peru, and then visit Lake Titicaca. That's the first upcoming now in August. And then that is not on my website, but it might be a trip to Patagonia around Christmas that's coming up that I'm working on right now. So
that's
an amazing thing.
Okay.
I try to take people to locations that most people would love to visit, and it's a hike that we do over a week, something like that.
Instead of 2 months.
Not too much.
About a week. Okay. What would be the cost?
Yeah.
What would be the, you know, an idea of the cost for something like that?
For the Inca Trail, it's a 2-week thing, and it's $4,300, and you have to add flights to get to Lima and Peru, another addition, but then the hotel and everything else, except from some lunch and dinners, are included.
Oh. How much did you say?
$4,300.
Okay, I didn't hear the 4,000. All I heard was $300. You do all that for $300? Are you kidding?
That would be crazy. You're not sleeping on the street. You're not the cow.
Okay, I'm glad I asked. Okay, so we are just about out of time. Thank you so much for calling us. I know that was a long distance call for you, but I just can't believe the things that you're doing and that people can actually do them with you. I mean, that's so incredible. So give us your website again.
That is SIVHARSTAD.com.
Okay. And I understand you'll be going back to Mount Everest, too, right?
Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, good luck, my lady.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me here in your
Thank you for being on the show. You're amazing. So we'll be back with more Pep Talk and segment two right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharkey Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athlete. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharkey Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkeyZartman.com.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
These shoes are made for walking, jumping, running, and just plain style. Over 32,000 styles. Skechers, an award-winning global leader in lifestyle footwear. And now you can get Skechers without walking, jumping, or running. You can get them by clicking. Scroll down HealthyLife.net's homepage and click. You can check out Skechers, high-quality shoes in styles for men, women, and children. So get in style. Get Skechers today and start walking, running, jumping, and strutting in style.
With a little Shark Sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharkey Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark's survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. Sharkey Zartman here. And I was just invited to do a speech for a Knights of Columbus group. And the topic they want me to discuss is how to win at aging, which is the title of one of my books. Now, I'm really surprised they want me to speak on this topic since, I really don't know what their interests are. But they all supposedly are over 45, and so maybe this will help. So they have their challenges as well when it comes to aging. And so I thought I'd just share some things with you that I'm going to be sharing with them, because when I say when at aging, people go, well, what does that actually mean? I came up with this idea a while back when I went in to see my doctor and I was, you know, having some complaints and stuff, and he just started smiling at me and said, well, all this is normal for your age. Get used to it. And he gave me a prescription for some kind of anti-anxiety drug. So oh, my gosh, you know. And I thought, gosh, that is sad. You know, I was 46 or something, you know, so my hormones have started, you know, going down and stuff, and it was just, things were changing. And so anyway, and so I decided, since I'm an athlete, former athlete and coach, that, hey, you don't give up, when you're training for a sport or you're competing. So I thought, hey, the first book, the first edition of Win at Aging was Take on Aging as a Sport. So most of my training for sports, I thought, you know, a lot of these characteristics and attributes can be used to deal with the aging process. And so that's how I came up with that idea. And so when it aging isn't the fountain of youth, it's not going to prevent it, but it's a proactive lifestyle approach. It empowers us to live a full and vibrant life regardless of age. You know, a lot of people get to a certain age and they go, oh, that's it. You know, it's all over. I'm so old, you know. And, you know, it's sad because a lot of people start to decline and just think it's normal, and then they're just complaining. And, you know, it doesn't have to be like that. It really doesn't. And so what I'm trying to do with, you know, going out and talking to people and writing books, I want to change that paradigm of aging just being a period of decline to being a challenge, an opportunity, and a privilege. So as far as the challenge goes, we know it's going to be a challenge, okay? You know, so you're just about more susceptible to everything, you know, infectious diseases, chronic diseases, accidents, you name it, okay? And, you know, so we can't just go along living our lives irresponsibly, because we can get away with that when we're young. We can eat whatever we want and, you know, get drunk and then go to work the next day. And, you know, I mean, you know, I don't know if any of you did that, but I did it sometimes and I got away with it. It wasn't a big deal. But as you get older, guess what? You can't get away with that stuff anymore. You have to start taking, you know, accountability for your actions. And so, when we talk about aging, there are three things that I learned from sports, that three characteristics that I think help with the aging process: the resiliency, accountability, persistence, and passion. So persistence and passion, I put them together. I call it the RAP principle. And so the first one, resiliency. Hey, we got to toughen up, okay? Life isn't easy. Life isn't fair, okay? And we've got to realize that when we get knocked down, we get back up, okay? In sports, and you lose, well, okay, we lost. Let's train and let's think of something that we can do to be better next time, okay? So you don't just lose and complain and do nothing. You know, nobody in sports who's successful, you know, takes losses like that. It's just a reason for us to get better. even my grandkids, I tell them, when you win, you celebrate. When you lose, you learn. And you learn how to be better. Well, the same thing in aging. When we get knocked down, we get back up and say, what can I do to make this better? And so, accountability. Is anybody accountable for anything anymore? I tell you, people are so good at blaming others and saying this, I didn't do it. It's not my fault. It's his fault or whatever. As an athlete, if you've reached the top, you know you have to be accountable. I mean, just, it's not the ref's fault. It's not your coach's fault. It's not your teammate's fault. If you want to be a good athlete, you have to be accountable for what you do out on the field or court. And so, and it's the same thing in aging. Be accountable for what you're doing, for what you've done. I remember going to a workshop once where it was on weight loss and nutrition. And all these people had all these expensive devices, you know, these vibrating belts and all these things that will burn fat off, you know, spend 1,000 calories. You don't even have to take a step, and all these supplements and everything. And this guy, everybody, and this was full of people. This guy stood up and he goes, I don't have anything to show you. He goes, I don't have any devices. I don't have any supplements, but I do have a suggestion that works. And they're all kind of listening. He goes, take off your clothes, stand in front of the mirror, take a full length mirror, turn side to side, forward and back, take a good look and say, I am responsible for this, and I'm the only person that could change it. And people started, you know, booing and throwing their bars at them, their candy bars. And but I thought about that. I thought, what a great thing to tell people, you know. And so, and also persistence, you know, nothing comes fast. We want everything fast. We want everything now. We want everything to work now. When you're dealing with the sport, if you want to be good, you train. You try to be better every day. It takes a while. It takes a while. And so we can't want the instant results. And the other thing is passion. I mean, we've got to fall back in love with our lives. Athletes play sports because they're passionate about it. They love it, okay? And to use that to help us with aging, we have to become passionate about life. I mean, we're still here. There's still so much for us to do, and we've got to do that. And so I see aging as an opportunity to finally maybe do what it is that we want to do instead of what we have to do. We get so caught up involved in everything we have to do, we have to work, we have to do this, we have to do that, that we put ourselves last. And I have been responsible for that for a while because, you know, through a lot of things going on with my family, I did put myself last because I was in charge of everything. But now, finally, as everything has been resolved, I'm starting to put myself as a priority again. And that's the opportunity that aging brings, is it's an opportunity to finally ask yourself, what is it that I want? What do I want to do? What, you know, because, you know, what are we waiting for? Time's running out. And it's also a privilege. It's also a privilege. Look at all the people that didn't make it this far. I am shocked when I hear that people my age or younger are dying. I'm just going, gosh, I'm still here and I still feel good. And so anyway, I'll come back next with a 10-point plan at how to win at aging. And so we'll be right back after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharkey Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athlete. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharkey Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkeyZartman.com.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Now you get Kmart on HealthyLife.net. Kmart carries over 70,000 items like Martha Stewart's Everyday Products, Apparel by Jacqueline Smith, Joe Boxer, Route 66, Appliances, Jewelry, and more. Everything you need. Plus, you'll get exciting weekly promotions. Go to HealthyLife.net's homepage and click on Kmart, and then you're there. And you even avoided the crowds.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharkey Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. Then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. I'm Sharkey Zartman, and I'm about to share with you my 10-point game plan on how to win at aging. And so, you know, I mean, when you're an athlete, when you're a coach, you always have a game plan, right? Okay, and so here's one that I kind of made to go with my book, and I hope something resonates with you. And so the first one is develop a can-do attitude. So no athlete or coach ever enters a game thinking that they're going to lose. Even if the odds are against them, they're ready to compete and go for a win. So having a positive attitude when it comes to aging is imperative. Looking for the good instead of what is wrong is a quality that we can all possess. And a can-do attitude, focusing on what we can do instead of what we can't do or not able to do. What can I do? And what do I want? And so that can-do attitude, instead of being a victim, I'm so old, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong, and, you know, I can't do anything. Well, that's BS. And so change your mind. The number two is know your numbers. We take stats, okay, as coaches and athletes. So we know all the percentages of hitting, spiking, you know, tackles, whatever, okay? And so know your numbers. And so so the numbers that we're talking about here in the aging game include blood pressure, resting heart rate, blood sugar, triglycerides, cholesterol, body composition, and other tests that show us how our body's functioning. So knowing our numbers and keeping them in check and trying to improve them if they are unhealthy is really our personal responsibilities. And so when you go to your doctor and they want to take these tests, especially the blood tests and the urine tests, have them done. Have them done. And then everything is recorded. And you can see if any of these numbers are high, and they shouldn't be, like your cholesterol, your blood pressure, even your blood sugar. You know, there are things that we can do before we go in and have them tested again to lower them down. At least we know what the numbers are. Then the third one, move every day for at least 30 minutes. And it doesn't matter what you do. A lot of us, as we get older, we just want to sit and watch TV or just not do anything because we deserve a rest. We deserve a break, right? No, you got to get up and move. One of the worst things that can happen with aging is losing your mobility. And I've seen it happen to people who, you know, they just haven't moved. They haven't exercised. And the muscles get weak. Everything, you know, starts to, you know, decline. And so don't let that happen to you. And there's so many neat things that you can do to exercise. Just 30 minutes a day. Even just walking. Just get out and do it. Get off your butt. Number four, eat to fuel your life. When I was a student at IIN, which is a nutritional school, I studied lots and lots of diets. And it came to me that there's not one diet for everyone. And so we have to decide what fuels us in our lives and what's healthy for us in our lives. And so just a couple suggestions. Try to crowd out unhealthy processed foods with whole foods and try to stay away from the fast foods. And just making that change can be huge. And also avoid sugar like the plague. Sugar does nothing good for your body and can put you at risk for just about every chronic disease. It is the devil in disguise. And I always used to tell my health students, if you eat 80% of the time good food, and then you can save 20% of food that's maybe not so healthy. You don't have to be perfect. But what I find out after they tell me what they eat during the day, most of them are only eating healthy 20% of the time and horribly for the other 80%. Number five, make your health and life your top priority. Yeah, now is the time. We've taken care of our kids or friends or spouse before taking care of ourselves. And now we really can't help anyone else unless we are at our best. So it's time to start making our health and our life our top priority. It's not selfish. It's necessary. Number six, learn or experience something new every day. So this isn't just for fun. It's for your brain. You want to keep our brains healthy and functioning. So, you know, I mean, you ask yourself at the end of the day, what did I learn today that's new? So, and it doesn't have to be a certain thing. Just get creative. Number seven, reach out to others. One of the most common complaints of older people is that they're lonely. However, they can't wait for the phone to ring or for people to come to us. And so everybody's busy. So if you want to have social stimulation, you've got to reach out. Call your friends, family members, join community groups. You know, I have a yoga class I go to that is more of a social event than a yoga event. And so, yeah, find people who are interested in the things you're interested in and be with them. Don't sit around with all the nasty older people that just complain. And so, number eight, laugh a lot. When you laugh, your body secretes dopamine in the brain, and I'm not kidding. And so find opportunities to laugh. Well, I'll tell you, I'm watching my little 9-month-old grandson, and he is starting to laugh. He is so funny. I mean, you can't help but smile and laugh when you're around him. I always feel so happy after seeing him go. It's hard though because he moves around like a crazy little guy. I can hardly catch him, but he's just so happy. You know, kids are so happy. We need to bring that happiness back into our life, whatever it takes. Live your purpose and passion again. Follow your passion. Find out what it is you want to do. And number 10, never, ever give up on you. I see this too often. People use the excuse all the time. I'm too old to do that. You're not too old to do anything that you really want to do. And so each and every day is an opportunity to share, experience life, and make a difference. As my dad always used to say, refuse to get old. No matter how long you live. And my dad lived to be almost 100, a month away from it. And so those are that's my plan. I don't know if any of you will use it, but I can tell you it works. And we'll be back with more Pep Talk right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athlete. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit sharkyzartman.com.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
We are back with more Pep Talk, and it's time for Shark to Heart. And here we are. It's April, and the NBA playoffs start April 16th. And with me is Jay Cruz, a sports expert, who will give us his predictions as to who he thinks will end up where. So, Jay, what do you think?
Well, we're not quite at the playoffs, but they'll start in roughly a week or so. I think everyone's in the last seven games-ish, last week or so of the season. My fantasy basketball team will hopefully finish in fifth place, which isn't bad. It's a 12-team league.
Okay.
And it's pretty competitive. I used to do this fantasy sports show, but some things kind of behind the scenes here at the station took up my time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd like to have a life, too, so I can enjoy sports and other things I talk about. It's actually something that's part of having the healthy, balanced life. But, you know, the two teams that have been leading kind of wire to wire in the East, it's been the Cleveland Cavaliers,
right,
who had a pretty strong season last year, and Oklahoma City Thunder, who also had a very strong season last year. I think they made quarterfinals or conference finals, but were, you know, a very good team. And think about Oklahoma. They've been building for years.
Right.
Years ago, they had Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook, and they challenged still a Kobe Bryant Laker team.
Wow.
And challenged them in the playoffs, and were actually, you know, they were up like 3-1. I think the Lakers had to come back. But for some reason, I think it was James Harden was the first to crack, and he's like, I want to get paid. You know, so he wanted a trade, and then Durant signed with the Warriors, and then Westbrook left, you know. Anyway, through all that process, the Oklahoma City Thunder collected, like, massive draft picks. And then there was the Clippers trade when they acquired Paul George, who is now a 76er and is now hurt and working on his podcast. You know, he's like, I'm going to take time off my podcast and focus on the season. I'm like, that's a heck of an idea. I'm sure, you know, if I was, but the player that ended up being acquired by Oklahoma City is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, who's literally the MVP or the hot up-and-coming future of the league. And I think Oklahoma City is more than likely going to come out of the West. And I think the West is where most of the talent is. Although Cleveland and Boston in the East, those two, I think, are going to fight it out for the Eastern Conference. Boston's been coming around recently, and they recently beat the Cavaliers. You know, so when those two teams, you know, I try to pay attention to when those big teams kind of match up. You know, in the West, you know, the Clippers and the Warriors are dangerous, but they're, you know, circling the drain, and they're going to have to, someone's going to have to win that playoff tournament, you know, where it's like the 7, 8, 9, and 10 seeds, you know, playoff to become the 7 and 8, and then they reseed. The Lakers, they've been the Luka trade, Luka Doncic, it took a while to really practice his pronunciation.
Right, Doncic.
You know, you look at it and it's Serbian, you know, so it's a different language altogether. And it's taken me a while. The accents on the language are different from Spanish and French, which we get more of here in the U.S. But watching him play day to day and listening to Laker games, and really, it's really just cool to see what he is every day and what he helps with the other players. And it's, you know, he's been an amazing player, and I'm surprised the Lakers got him. I mean, Anthony Davis, great player, loved him, felt a little sad because right before that trade, he made a heartfelt announcement to a crowd at the Laker game. It was right after the fires, and he's just like, I love L.A., you know, and we won this for you. And then a week later, he's traded, but it's for Luka, and you're like, that's a good trade for the Lakers, but I like Davis, you know? And then, anyway, so Dallas, I don't think, is going to challenge. They're sort of rebuilding, and then Kyrie, you know, got hurt.
Right.
Clippers, I think, are challenging to – they've been red hot, you know, so they might get in and be dangerous. You know, they might have to do the play-in game thing, but, you know, once you're in, you're in. And then,
right.
you know, it's a matter of, you know, who's hot and who's not. Thing with the Clippers, though, they have a great player named Kawhi Leonard, and he seems to get hurt a lot.
Yes, yes, that's the big question there. Is he going to be available?
Yeah, and that was the same thing with Paul George, which is why they go, yeah, you can go check out Philadelphia if you want.
Right.
And he signed a deal there.
Right.
But Oklahoma City, you know, for a couple of years it seemed like they were just the team that didn't care because they, you know, trade everyone and collect all these draft picks. And at some point, you know, I'm cynical when it comes to draft picks because I watch the college tournament, but – you know, who's the guy coming out? Usually they're out of Europe now. You know, they have a different system over there. And our college system, which used to be the, you know, the pool for players, which it kind of still is taking a backseat to the European leagues because they're better trained in fundamentals and they step into the NBA type game quicker. Luka Doncic is, you look at him, he doesn't look like the best athlete out there.
Right.
And he's not. I mean,
right.
He's good, but, you know, what he does, he uses the space and the angles, and it's just a different method, and he makes everyone else better.
Right.
The Joker, you know, Nikola Jokic with Denver, I think that's...
Yes, just call him the Joker.
And the Greek Freak, he's
yeah.
another one with Milwaukee.
Yeah, right.
You know, but... and I got to say, the European... I kind of like seeing the European... talent, you know, be what they are, because I know if it wasn't for the U.S. and Dream Team in 1992 being so darn amazing that the rest of the world was like, okay, you guys play soccer. I'm tall. I'm going to go over here and
right.
try this. Or
right.
I, you know, this is sort of, we just use our hands and not our feet. It's
right.
sort of similar, less people.
Right.
And, you know, European basketball was sort of always around. Like Kobe, his father played in Italy.
Oh.
And, you know, Kobe, you know, grew up a little bit in Milan. There's a new documentary about him. I forget which platform it's on. I want to say Apple TV, but I don't know. You have to look it up. It's
yeah.
it's somewhere online. And
okay.
But it's like a three-parter. I haven't watched it yet, but it does go into his, you know, his Italian years and his father who played in the league and played in Italy. So kind of like old baseball players, we're 35, let's go play in Japan. Well, Japan... is another country that's like, we love your sport.
Whoa.
And now we've got Shohei Ohtani, who's like,
yeah.
you know, I got a friend, we're both from Northern California, so there's like, I'm a little more open to the Dodgers just because I'm a bigger sports fan in general. I've sort of buried the past of the Northern California, Southern California rivalry, because
mm-hmm.
I live here now. I can't be
right.
the ugly San Francisco fan. I can still be a fan, but I'm not going to be the ugly fan, you know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
So, but right now the Dodgers are like, how can you root against them? I mean, unless you just have, you know, the Grinch in your heart, which I kind of do.
They're 8-0 right now.
They're amazing. I mean, we're at the other game the other night, and he's, you know, he's a singer in my band, and he's like, you know, and he's like, no bending on the Dodgers. And I'm like, as long as they don't say that when we're on stage. And then we're at somewhere the other night, and Ohtani comes up. It's 5-5, and I'm like, I go, I don't care what you think about the Dodgers. This guy is must-see TV. He's Babe Ruth.
Right.
But better.
Right.
I mean, last year he's like, I'm not pitching. Well, I'll just
hit.
I'll hit and steal bases. I never knew him to be a base stealer. And he gets 55-55, which
right.
is 15 beyond the 40-40, which has like only been happened like two or three times in history.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
I think Canseco did it twice.
Right. He's amazing. He's amazing.
Yeah. So... I love watching him, and I love the presentation of the Dodgers on radio. Same with the Lakers. I mean, you know, I'm a radio person. I grew up listening to a lot of baseball and basketball on radio because there's so many more games. You know,
mm-hmm.
football's so much more visual. But,
right.
you know, baseball and basketball's a little tough. It's a visual game, too. But,
right.
you know, I did listen to a lot of, you know, it was Warriors games, and I was really happy that when I first did move to L.A. as an adult that I got a couple seasons of Chick Hearn and a number of seasons with Vin Scully because those guys mm-hmm. are just legends.
Right.
And, you know, it's just a joy to be able to follow them. So, I mean, right now I think Dodgers might set a record, and I just hope they're in shape when the playoffs get here, because it's always right. Who's playing the best at that time.
Right.
I mean, last year I thought the Yankees were going to win, but, you know.
Do you think Ohtani will pitch?
At some point, I think he will. In a way, I was thinking I would rather see him as a relief pitcher, where he can come in and pitch an inning maybe once or twice a week.
Yes.
And there would sort of be a moral or a – certainly for home games would be like, oh, here comes Ohtani, because he's must-see TV again. If he can come in and give you an inning of, you know, 30 pitches or less of just flamethrowers or whatever he – I don't even remember what his best pitch is. It's been a while. You know, and use him in limited spots, you know, a little bit more might – you know, preserve him. But then again, having a certain schedule, I don't know. I'm baseball's strange with the handling of pitchers. I grew up in watching Nolan Ryan and Steve Carlton. You know, Carlton won 32 games in the early 70s. Nolan Ryan, he struck out so many people. He pitched so many, you know, no-hitter. He's had like seven. And then he had like 15 one-hitters and 22 hitters. And, you know, he pitched 13 inning games, 250 pitches, and he pitched till he was like 46. And now they're like, oh, he's at 80 pitches. We got to shut him down, even though he's got a no hitter going. And I'm like,
no, good leave God, that this, there. These are you kidding me?
Yeah, you know. I mean, I know the Dodgers took out Clayton Kershaw at the beginning of the season a couple years ago. It was a very cold game in Cleveland. It was like 35 degrees, you know, at the beginning of the season. They probably shouldn't have been playing baseball in reality, but they took him out, and it was a good decision because of his injury history. And you keep looking at the clock. I somehow didn't set my timer, but we're pretty much coming up on a break. So you want to go to break.
Well, and, thanks for your insight, Jay. I mean, we're going to have to talk more about this because, you know, I'm a sports person, too, and you're just so enlightening.
Bottom line, my final prediction, Celtics in six over the Thunder.
Okay. Thank you, Jay.
You're welcome.
We'll be back with more Pep Talk right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athlete. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkyZartman.com.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books, or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Pep it up with positive energy power right here on HealthyLife.net.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pep Talk. And to my wonderful guest, Sif Hartstad, if you want to go on an adventure, you want to be a summiter, go to her website. She'll set you up, SifHartstad.com. And thanks to Jay Cruz for being my sports expert today. So we'll see how your predictions work out, Jay. Until next time, I'm Sharky Zartman, and here's to your inner shark.